Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We're continuing with the biography of Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala. Istiqamat of the mu'mineen in adhering to their deen after the infliction of all kinds of persecution and torture by the misguided evildoers is a sign of their sincere iman and their high spiritual standing, as their peace of mind, contentment and hope for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala was far greater than the torture, deprivation and pain that affected their bodies. Because what matters most for the sincere mu'mineen is their spiritual aspirations, not their physical needs. So they hasten to fulfill the needs of their souls, of the ruh, and they pay less attention to their physical body's needs, the need for rest, fulfillment, pleasure. Thus the call to Allah Ta'ala prevailed and the masses were freed from darkness and ignorance. If we look around us, in our era also, even those places that went through difficulty. Now there are so many mu'mineen amongst them, they went through what type of difficulties, right? But they remain steadfast on their deen. They didn't lose their iman, they didn't throw in the towel, they remain steadfast. No matter what was done to them, they remain steadfast. The one sad thing is that after Allah Ta'ala gives victory, when Allah Ta'ala gives some victory, then immediately the focus becomes the world. After that, the whole focus changes. Now once the zalim is disposed of, and then the focus now changes. Focus doesn't remain the struggle. The struggle for the upliftment of Allah Ta'ala's deen. I think we spoke about this some time ago, that when after certain futuhat, Khaybar, etc., then the Ansar, they had a meeting and they said, look, we served our time, right? We've done now, we made Nusrat, everything. Now, there are many more Muslims now, and, you know, it's time that we also now worried about our farms and our businesses and our families, and, you know, so much neglect took place there, so we need to put some dhyan over there now. And Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Do not extend your hands to your destruction. In other words, you continue with your jihad. I'll take care of you. You continue with your jihad. You continue with your work. So we in our lives, we may not be in a jihad be safe. We may not be in the jihad where we are confronting the enemy, with weapons and fighting that kind of a war. But we are in a different types of jihad. Each one is different types of jihad. We must never lose focus that my deen is first. My deen comes first. In whatever I'm doing, I must establish the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu learned from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam compassion towards the ummah. His compassion was demonstrated when he became the Khalif, and even before that, when he lived in Medina Munawwara, in the era of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiyallahu an, and Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu an, he saw them with his own eyes. The compassion of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and his deep concern to guarantee their safety and security. Hence, he suggested to them that they go to that just king in whose land no one was oppressed. Go away to Abyssinia. And it turned out to be as Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when they went there, they were safe and they were free to practice their deen. See, this was the objective. You go there because now here, you can't practice your deen. Go there, you'll be able to practice your deen. And they stayed there on the best terms. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself suggested Abyssinia. Go to Abyssinia. He is the one who chose a safe place for his community and his message so that it was protected. The message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be protected. So this is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trained Muslim leaders in every era to plan wisely with farsightedness in order to protect the call of Islam and also the callers to Islam. The message of Islam and those who are calling to Islam. And to look for a safe land to be a provisional capital for the call and a center from which it could operate, lest the main center be exposed to danger, attacked or destroyed. So as mu'mineen, it's very, very important to establish a markaz. A markaz must be established. One is a markaz, as we know, in the work of tabligh. Right? So in the work of tabligh, if you study the work of tabligh, it's like an administration, right? A worldwide administration for the da'wat of the deen of Allah, for the spread of the deen of Allah. So they must establish a markaz. And now from the markaz now, the shura or the amir, whoever is based there according to the era, now that person will make the decisions. Mashwaras will take place with these elders, with these seniors, directives will be given, and those will filter through the whole world. Wherever the work is taking place, those same principles, those same instructions, those same advices, those same hidayat will filter through the whole world. That is how the Muslim state is supposed to be run. You have a markaz, you have your Amir al-Mu'mineen, he will have his shura, and whatever directives are given from there, it will be sent to the whole Muslim world. In the Muslim, how the Muslim state is run, there's no small countries and all that. No, it's one state. Yes, you may have regions for ease of admin. So you'll have a governor in that state. So he's got zimedari of that portion, this one, this portion, that one, that portion. But all are under one amir. And each one will take his instruction from there. So a markaz has to be established. The da'iyas, those who are calling towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala, they are a true asset, and all efforts should be focused on protecting them without any negligence or risks that could jeopardize their lives or their safety. One Muslim is equivalent to an earth full of people who are outside the deen of Allah. One mu'min, right, is more valuable in the sight of Allah Ta'ala than the whole world full of. How fortunate we are that Allah Ta'ala made us mu'mineen. And what ingratitude it will be if we consider ourselves. You know, they say that the person who is studying Quran Sharif, who is teaching Quran Sharif, is involved with the Quran, Allah made him a hafiz, whatever. And if he considers some other occupation, some other work, better than the work that he is involved in, then this is a great injustice. That Allah Ta'ala has given him the best thing. Now he is looking at what others are doing and he says, you know, if only I was involved in that, if only I was doing this, you know. So this is a great ingratitude to Allah Ta'ala. Okay? Now imagine on the scale of Iman, if you look at it, on Iman, that Allah Ta'ala has blessed with Iman. And now we go to work for this Iman, to preserve it, practice it, propagate it. And if we, in order to achieve worldly things, material things, we start compromising this deen, what an ingratitude this is to Allah Ta'ala. What a thing Allah Ta'ala gave us. If you take a human being, what's the difference between a mu'min and a kafir from a physical perspective? Anatomy is the same. Organs are the same. Everything is the same. Okay? But the one got Iman. The one got Iman, the other one don't have Iman. The one with Iman is beloved to Allah Ta'ala. He's beloved to Allah Ta'ala. The one with Iman, if he dies with that Iman intact, he can go to Jannah. And the person without Iman, imagine Allah Ta'ala will take him, throw him in Jahannam, and just forget about him. It will be said to him also, today, Yom Nansakum Kama Nasitum Liqa'a Yomikum Hada. We will forget you. How you forgot our meeting of today. You never bring Iman that we are going to meet. There's going to be an Akhirat. There's going to be a Qiyamah. You thought you were going to die and be reincarnated, for example. Or you thought you were going to die and that's the end of it. You're going to turn to dust and finish. You forgot the meeting with Allah Ta'ala. And if you believed in the meeting, you believed in it in your own way, not in how Allah wanted you to believe. So you forgot Allah's, what Allah said, you left it one side. So today we leave you also one side. You know, to understand how angry Allah is with a person who dies without Iman. You know, you can be how hard you want to be. How hard you want to be there. You're a father and you give your son a punishment. He did musti, he did wrong, you know, punishment. How many times you don't see it through? You give punishment, you know, this time. How many times you don't see it through? Or if you saw it through also, then after that, now you're feeling him sorry now, you know, you want to do something to make him happy also. You can be a principal in a madrasa. So many times, students now, something. No. And sometimes the ustads too, or the supervisors too, they'll tell the principal this. You know what? You causing it. You know? Because you're not seeing the punishment through. Are you telling them they're going to get this punishment, that punishment? But they know they're not going to get it, so where are they going to change it? They still do the musti. So you make up your mind, no, this weekend now, khalas, finish. They're going to get that detention or that punishment. Now you see them sitting, cars are all going. You say, all right, last chance. But imagine Allah Ta'ala who is the most merciful. The mercy, little bit mercy that we have, for which we will overlook something, or we give a person a last chance, or whatever. Allah Ta'ala is the creator of that mercy. And despite all that mercy, Allah will leave a kafir for eternity in Jahannam. Other day I was reading Hizbul Azam. One of the du'as there is a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's du'as. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making du'a that Ya Allah, I ask you for protection from being roasted in Jahannam. From being roasted in Jahannam. Imagine a person is just left in Jahannam. Allah is fully aware of what the person is going through, and Allah just leaves him. How angry Allah is. How angry Allah Ta'ala is. Now we are so fortunate. We're born into Muslim homes. Practicing parents, whatever. Then if we feeling down over some worldly things, by just the fact that we got iman, just the fact that we got iman, that's supposed to make us so appreciative of Allah's bounty that everything else, the loss of anything else, the sadness of anything, whatever. I'm human, I got some emotion, so I'll feel it a little bit. But in the end, I come back to my iman. Iman, what iman? Allah made me a mu'min. Allah chose me for iman. So I'ma just get back on that track. Just remain on that track. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu learned from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advice to make hijrat to Abyssinia, that the risks should be undertaken by those who are close to the leader, his family and relatives. The notion that the leader's relatives should be kept away from danger, and that those who are not related to the leader are not of, or people who are not of high status, should be sent to confront the danger. This is far removed from the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, when you study the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever it came to ease and advantages and all that, other people were put in the front. When it came to striving, his own was put right in the front. Dangerous situations, all that, his own was put right in the front. Hence, when Uthman radiallahu anhu became the Khalif, his relatives were in the forefront of the armies. Abdullah bin Abi Sarh, he led the Futuhat in Africa. Abdullah bin Amir led the Futuhat in the East. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he was the navy. He was the navy. And he was accompanied even by his family. His family also was with him. This will come later on in the biography. Uthman radiallahu anhu was the first one of this ummah to make hijrat with his family. Everybody else who made hijrat, they made hijrat on their own. Uthman radiallahu anhu. After that, people made hijrat with their family also. But he was the first one to make hijrat with his family. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Right? Sahibahum Allah. May Allah Ta'ala be with them. May Allah be with them. Inna Uthmana لَأَوَّلُ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِأَهْلِهِ بَعْدَ لُوتٍ. Uthman radiallahu anhu is the first one to make hijrat for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala with his family after Sayyidina Lut alayhi. When there was a rumor that the people of Makkah Mukarrama had become Muslims, the news of that reached the Muhajirin in Abyssinia, those who migrated to Abyssinia, so they came back. Because now, if these people all became Muslims, we don't go here for business, we don't go here for, you know, looking for greener pastures, we went there for deen. And if now by the Kaabatullah, if everybody became Muslim, then we have to come back here now and lend support to the Muslim Ummah. But when they drew close to Makkah Mukarramah, they heard that what was being said about the people of Makkah Mukarramah becoming Muslim, this was just a rumor, it was false. But they entered the city under the protection of some people of Makkah Mukarramah. Among those who returned was Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu and his wife, the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. So he settled there, now in Makkah Mukarramah, he settled again until Allah Ta'ala granted permission to make hijrat to Madina Munawwara. So he had made hijrat to Abyssinia and also made hijrat to Madina Munawwara. From the day Uthman radiallahu anhu became Muslim, he stayed very close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever he was. And he did not leave him except the time when he went to Abyssinia, when he migrated to Abyssinia, and that too, it was on the permission, the instruction of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In staying close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was like the rest of the Khulafa'i Rashideen. Uthman radiallahu anhu had a strong connection to the message of Islam from the first year. And he did not miss any event in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, public or private. Nor did he miss any event in the reigns of the first two Khulafa, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah. Right? In other words, he missed nothing which had to do with the laying of the foundations of Islam. He was present in all the important things concerning the laying of the foundations of Islam. New section, we leave it till there. Continue with this, inshallah, next week.